Listen, bring it down, bring it down, bring it down. Julie's gonna come speak. She's got a real good message. I want you to give her your undivided attention. That means that you put your phones on vibrate, don't be texting, put it all up. It can wait till afterwards. You're gonna miss something. If you're talking to somebody or somebody's distracting, don't be a distraction to somebody, because you could be the reason why they don't get what they need to get tonight. Don't want that, all right? So be quiet. Everybody hush. All right, Julie? All right, give Julie a hand clap.
Hey, guys. Okay, hey. I see a lot of new faces in here tonight, and that's really exciting. I'm really glad that every single one of you came here tonight. And if you're new and if you've never been here, I want to tell you that tonight is not a coincidence that you're here. Tonight is not a coincidence that your friend invited you or somehow you got here into this place tonight. The word that I'm bringing is from the Lord, and I'm really excited. So I just want to pray right now. Lord, I just thank you, Father God, for this message that you've put in my heart, Lord. And right now, God, I pray over these kids, Lord, that their ears and their eyes would be open, Lord, to the truth that I'm about to speak. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to use me tonight. I surrender everything to you, God. Right now, I want every single one of you to lift your hands, every single one of you, and repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I receive the word that's about to be spoken. Impact my heart. I'm listening. I'm in tune. Speak to me. In Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, guys, I'm going to be talking about, maybe to some of you, a very touchy subject. The title of my message tonight is Hell. I'm going to be talking about it. And some of you, it's a scary subject to some of you. To people who know where they're going, who know without a doubt where they're going, this doesn't bother you. That word doesn't bother you. Death doesn't bother you. None of those things bother you. But there's some of you tonight, the minute I mentioned that title, you might have cringed inside, or you're like, oh, it's touchy. So before we start, I want to play a video clip for you guys. It's from Eruption 2009, and it's very impactful, so I want y'all to look to the screen and watch this clip real fast. Lights.
I escaped. Please, listen to me. I only have a second. I know they're coming for me. Listen, I have to tell you about a place called hell. Okay? You don't want to go there. It's real. It's real. Hell is real. Please, just listen. Listen. If you know the truth and you're not telling your friends, you're not sharing it, how dare you? How dare you? If you know about Jesus and you know about salvation and you're not sharing that information about eternal life, you're not sharing it with your friends, you gotta be ashamed of yourself. Please listen. My so-called friend, Matt, please, don't be like him. Please, don't be a hypocrite. Don't act like you don't know if you know. Because of him, because he didn't share that with me, I'll spend eternity in hell, and I have no choice. Don't be like me. I'm telling you right now, please. Please. Some of you, I gotta tell you, some of you are riding the fence. Some of you are trying to live for God, and your other foot is living for yourself. You're really living for yourself. You're living for the world. But I have to tell you, Satan owns the fence. Satan owns the fence. And once you're here, there's no way out. There's no way out. I'm stuck here for eternity, okay? Tell your friends. Tell your family. This place. places, Rhea. Please tell them about Jesus. Don't let them die in their sin. Don't die in your sin. I don't have much time. I know they're coming. Some of you are sitting next to people, just like Matt, that knew. And you have no idea what's going on here. You've never heard about this. But I'm telling you, you won't be able to say you didn't know, because I'm telling you. I'm telling you, and I know. You have no choice. Hell is real. No! No!
So some of you see the seriousness of the message tonight. It's not a joke. It's not funny. This place is real. I want to talk to you all about the first thing that really stands out to me in this clip. Travis says Satan owns the fence. There's some of you tonight in here that you're walking the fence. And what I mean by that is literally you're walking a fence line. You're walking on it. You have 1 foot in the world and you have 1 foot in church, and you're playing church. Number one, it is not possible to fully serve the Lord, to fully serve your God while you're walking the fence. It's not possible, period. It's not possible. Two, when you're trying to walk the fence, you waver, just as you would physically walking a fence line. If you got on top of a fence, you physically, and you started walking on it, you would waver. You would go back and forth trying to stable yourself. Why? Because it's not a stable ground that you're walking on. The fence line, playing that game, is not a stable place to be. Not only is it not a stable place to be, but if God comes back and this is a picture of your life, you will not make it. You will not make it. It doesn't matter if you go to church. It doesn't matter if you pray every now and then. If you have 1 foot in the world and you still have sin and you're living in that sin. Now, there's a difference between being a Christian and fully serving God and making a mistake, making multiple mistakes. We all make mistakes. But when you're fully serving the Lord, when you make those mistakes, you repent. Your heart hurts, because you don't want to hurt God's heart. When you sin, you repent, and your ambition, your goal, when you're living your life for the Lord, your goal is to please God. And you can't fool God. He knows your heart. It doesn't matter how good of a game you can play. It doesn't matter how good of an actor you are, how good at it you are at walking this fence and looking like everything in your life is going great. It doesn't matter how good you are, God sees straight into your heart. He knows your motives. He knows if you're coming to this place on Wednesday nights for your girlfriend or for your boyfriend or to have fun. He knows when you come up to this worship time and you're goofing off and you're not up here for Him. You can have fun. You can have fun when you're worshiping. Don't get me wrong. You can jump up and down. I was up here jumping up and down with a smile on my face because I love to get up here and worship the Lord. But He sees your heart, and He sees if you get up here with a motive of, oh, I can't wait to just, you know, whatever, play games up here and just be really loud and stupid and goof off. He knows. And it hurts Him. He wants you to want to worship Him. He wants you to want to come up here and jump around and have a smile on your face because you know how good He is. Okay, can I have my example come up for the Travis? Where are you? I want to show you guys what the devil sees when he looks at someone. Hold on 1 second. When he looks at some of you that are riding the fence, this is what he sees. This is a picture of what the devil sees, okay? Go ahead. You're walking along the fence, playing the game. You're stumbling. You're wavering. Like I said, this ground is not stable. So guess what the devil does? I didn't even have to push that hard. Let's do it again. I want y'all to get this picture. What the devil sees when y'all are walking the fence. How easy is it to completely push you off into complete darkness? Thank you. 1 minute you're playing the game. 1 minute you think everything's great. 1 minute you're going to church every now and then, praying every now and then, playing that game. And the next minute, within a split second, you're in complete darkness. You're contemplating suicide. Those of you in here, you know who you are, who have contemplated suicide, who have thought about taking your own life. You know how you get into places like that? You know how you get into places like that? From allowing sin in your life and walking that fence and not truly serving the Lord. Because when you're truly serving the Lord, trust me, that thought will never go through your head. Not everyone that is living in the world drinks and parties and does it. Those are outward sins. And I want to talk to y'all about the difference between outward sins and inward sins, okay? Both are still sins. Outward sin is something you can physically see. If I was partying and I was getting drunk every weekend and I was just doing drugs and having sex with whoever I wanted to have sex with and doing all these things, that's outward sin. You can see that. You can physically see, ooh, that girl is walking in sin. Or, ooh, my friend is walking in sin. Inward sin is the sin that you can't see. And there are people that don't do all those outwardly things, but they're still in sin and they're still riding the fence because they won't allow God in to heal their brokenness. So they have the inward sin like bitterness. You can't see bitterness. They have anger, rage inside of them. You say one thing wrong to them and bam, that's inward sin. Lust. Looking at a girl in the wrong way, looking at a guy in the wrong way. That's inward sin. In both inward and outward sin will get you into hell. Both of them. Have you ever gotten to a place in your life you think everything's going great, like I was talking about earlier, riding the fence, and then all of a sudden, everything, your whole world just falls down on you, and you're like, how did I get to this place? How did I get here? And you stop and you look and you're like, how did I allow that into my life? Months ago, when I first started partying, I would have never snorted cocaine. I would have never smoked pot. But guess what? You look around and there's all this junk in your life that you thought, I would never do this, you know? That's because you're riding the fence. You're walking that line, that thin line. I want y'all to read Matthew 7:13, if you can put that scripture up. It says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. Narrow is small. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. The Bible says the gate is literally wide because there's so many people that will choose that way. And notice that key word. Choose. It's a choice. You have a choice. Your friends that are living in darkness have a choice. If you're in darkness right now in your life, you're in darkness, you're not living your life the right way, where are you leading everyone around you to? Exactly. If you're in darkness, I know some of you have little brothers and sisters. I know all of you have family. Where are you leading them to? I want you to think about right now. I want you to think about the ones you love the most. Like your little brothers and sisters, or maybe your mom or your dad or your grandparents. I want you to think about them right now. And I want you to think about them in hell. begging God to send someone with the truth to you and the ones they left behind. In hell, begging God. In the midst of all their pain, their torture, their skin. Let me just try and paint a very honestly unrealistic image of hell, because no one in this room can imagine how horrible that place is, and it's real. Their skin is melting off their body. They're gnashing their teeth. They're screaming out. They're screaming out, "Please, Lord, save my family from this place. Save my friends from this place. The ones I didn't choose to witness to in school, save them from this place. Save my family who I never cared enough to tell about. Save them from this place." Okay, now that you've imagined that, I want you to hear something that the Bible says in Job. Hell is naked of God's presence. It's naked. That means zip, zero, none. God's presence is not in hell. Now, what I just asked you to imagine, your family or your friends crying out, "God, save them from this place." Guess who hears them? The devil, his demons. Guess who doesn't hear them? God. God doesn't hear them in that place. Hell is completely naked of God's presence. And if you ask me right now, here on earth, because I don't know, I can't imagine how horrible that place is. The worst thing I can imagine about hell right now, here on earth, is not being able to feel God next to me. Not being able to feel him holding my right hand through everything that I go through. Because that's what he does. That's what the Bible says. He holds your right hand. He never leaves or forsakes you. Ever. But once you're in that place, you don't feel him at all. You can't hear him. You know those times, even those little times that maybe some of you don't serve God fully, okay? Some of those times when you're about to do something and you feel that tug, don't do it. Don't do it. Maybe you're driving down the road and the Lord says, get in the left lane, those of you who do drive, or whatever, wherever you're at. And he protects you from something. That's his still small voice whispering into your ear. In hell, you can't hear that. If you're here on earth right now, which you are, and you go to slip and fall, you're walking the fence line, and you go to slip and fall, guess who's going to be the first one there? God. God's going to be the first one there to catch you before you fall. Because he's your daddy. Because he's your father. Some of you have a different image of God. Some of you, you find him like he's hard and he's mean. He's not mean. When you go to fall, he's not, "How dare you? I can't believe you just made that sin. You just made that mistake." No, he's right there to catch you. But guess who's the first one to push you off? The devil. If you're not serving God, you're serving the devil. If you're not living for the Lord, then you're living for him downstairs. I want to tell y'all a story. I'm closing, so there was a man that I read about in a book, and for whatever reason, he was in a hospital. His wife was with him. His heart was failing. The doctors tried to save him, and every time his heart would stop and that monitor, the line would go flat, they would paddle him with the shock paddles, and he would come back, and he would scream, "The fire, the fire!" And then his heart would die again. It would fail again. They tried so many times until finally he was gone. They pulled the blanket over his face and they gave his wife a minute to be with him. She was hysterical and she was crying and she was so upset. She just lost her husband. So she turns to walk away in complete sadness. And she's walking down the hall and she hears commotion. She hears some nurses screaming, some doctors, hey, hey, hey. Turns around. Her husband sat straight up on that gurney and he was freaking out. This is a true story. Her husband was freaking out, couldn't catch his breath. The doctors, are you okay? Are you okay? And the wife is, I mean, he had been dead for however long, minutes, not hours or anything like that, minutes. And he's weeping and he's screaming. He's telling his wife, I went to hell. I went to hell. Now, this doesn't happen very often that you come back to life. And I'm not in any way painting a picture that you could die and then come back and have another chance. Once you die, you die, unless God creates a miracle, which he did for this man for this very reason, so that people could get up and tell this story. He gets up and he says, I went to hell. And the wife is saying, what? What? And he said, yeah, whenever my heart failed, my spirit rose up and all of a sudden I could see myself laying on that table. And then all of a sudden I was in this downward elevator-like thing and I was falling and he fell into hell like that. He said the pain was unbelievable. The torture, the heat. He said his skin was melting off. He was screaming in pain. And he knew in those minutes, he remembered every second. He felt every second of those minutes that he was not alive. He knew he was in hell. And when he came back to his wife said, what was the worst part of hell? And you know what his answer was? It wasn't the pain. It wasn't the picture of what he saw of all these demons and all these horrible things. The worst part of hell to him, his answer? No, it was that he couldn't bring anyone back with him. When he came back, he couldn't bring anybody back with him. He couldn't grab someone that was in hell and say, come on, I'm getting another chance, so can you. No, that was the worst part of hell to him, was that he couldn't bring anyone back with him. Eternity is forever. It is forever. Once you go to this place, there is no getting out. You'll need to see that tonight. Some of you live very carelessly, and you think, oh, I have tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. And this place is so real. And the dead know the truth. The dead know the truth. And now so do you. The devil is real. Heaven and hell is real. I don't care what anyone tells you or tries to tell you otherwise. And believe me, people will try to tell you otherwise. People will try to bend the truth. And they'll try to say, oh, everyone goes to heaven. Or, oh, hell isn't that bad. Really? That's not the truth. So tonight, first of all, there's something the Lord spoke to me on the way home from work today before I got here. I got a text message from my dad. And he said, and I quote it, I love you so much. My dad has never said something like that to me with exaggeration. If anything, he'll L and a U, like love you. And it made me realize, some of you don't ever hear that from your dads. Some of you, your dad's not around. Some of you never hear your dad say, I'm proud of you. I love you. So because of that, you can't really see the picture of who God is to you. God wants to be your dad. Yeah. God wants to be your dad. And he can take that place. He can fill that void. He wants to be that motherly love to you if your mom's not in your life. He wants to be everything to you tonight. Everything that you're missing. He says, please, just take me in. Let me fill that void. Let me love you. Because guess what? Your father in heaven, your daddy, guess what? He says, I love you so much. He loves you so much that he would have me stand up here and tell you about this place. I know it's not easy for some of you. I know it's not easy hearing about this place. And that's okay, because tonight you have a choice. You have a choice. You can choose hell or you can choose heaven. It's not easy. Like Matthew 7:13 says, the gate is narrow. It means you're going to have to say no to riding the fence. I want y'all to stand up.